Let's open to John chapter 10. You just never know. John chapter 10, we'll begin reading in verse number 14 this morning. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Now, when we get to verse number 22, we're going to come to a great division in the book of John. So for this morning, we'll look at the several verses that we read, and then we'll continue past verse number 22. And the division here, just as a heads up, is that Jesus' public ministry is drawing to a close at this juncture. So we want to pay particular attention to what it is that's being said. And when we get to John chapter 10 and verse 22 and following, his ministry will be private to his disciples. And as we study that, we'll learn certain things that Jesus did not speak publicly, but he will speak to his disciples. Nonetheless, things have reached a critical juncture here, and as he closes his public ministry, we see in verse number 19, once again, there's a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. So we've reached this critical point, this has been pointed out, and from this point forth now, Jesus is going to go privately beyond Jordan, and we'll see what takes place there. But this morning, we want to look at the fact that there is a division among the Jews. And what is this division about? Yes, that's it. Specifically, in verse number 19, these sayings. So let's see what sayings it is that has created this latest division. Which sayings do you suppose are in view here?
Well, he talks about being a good shepherd and that the sheep know him.
Yes.
There's a fold and a flock.
Mm-hmm.
Just before verse 19, Jesus is saying, I have the power of my own life. I have the power to lay it down.
Yes.
I have to take it up.
Certainly.
And that is a bold statement for a
It is. Absolutely it is. And do you think that that saying was lost on his audience? No. Say what you will, I think they understood very well what he was saying here. Because if they didn't, then the division would not have occurred, doubtless. But it has. And so, do you think that there's more involved than just those sayings? Okay. What do you suppose that the Pharisees heard, maybe to the exclusion of anything else that Jesus said?
That I am the Father of one.
Yes, certainly they heard that. But do you suppose they also heard what Jesus was saying concerning all that ever came before me are robbers and thieves? Do you suppose that they understood who he meant by that? Of course they did. So, there's a division among the Jews concerning these sayings. What do you suppose is causing the division beyond what he has said?
Their conscience has been stirred.
Yes, of course. And you can see that in verse number 20. Many of them said, "He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" Others said, "These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" Let's just take the part of those that say he has a devil and is mad.
You know, what is the art of argument where you use something that is true of you against your opponent, the prognostication?
Well, prognostication, of course, is telling the future, prophesying.
But basically, like Mary said, they, you know, their conscience was so on, but I think that they knew, and because there were some that were in league with the devil, whenever you sell out the creator of the world and you do it on purpose and you know that you're doing it.
Sure. Do you think that the words of Jesus are most illuminating here when he said of the Pharisees, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you'll do"? Do you think it's a bit of projection here that they point to Jesus and say, "He has a devil and is mad"? Is there an inconsistency even in what they say here? He has a devil and is mad.
Well, they're talking about themselves.
Well, yes, they are. Once again, it's projection. But is there something else involved here? I mean,
having a devil and being mad, oddly enough, are two different things.
Yes, of course. Do devils have a plan and an agenda that they're following?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, to resist the living God is a form of madness, probably the sincerest form of madness. But even devils have an agenda, and they go about it in a certain way. They seek only to destroy. Is there something else involved here? Do you think that they're cruising dangerously close to committing the unpardonable sin if they haven't already crossed that line? Indeed. What is the unpardonable sin once again? Okay, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, but could you explain how they're going about blaspheming the Holy Spirit in this particular context?
Well, when you're rejecting the only way of salvation, flat out to his face.
Yes, they're ascribing the works of Christ to the devil. That's what they're doing here. And as you said, that cuts them off because it's the Holy Spirit that draws men to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what about those on the other side? In verse number 21, others said, "These are not the words of him that hath a devil." Okay, on what basis do you think that they said that?
Somebody, if somebody heals somebody, it's never of the devil. So they're
Okay, in fact, they actually call that forth here. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And this is something that just has happened very recently.
They're using logic.
Yes, they are using logic. That's true. Is there more?
You can see Nicodemus, and you can see the other fellow that pulled Christ off the cross. You can see them being represented here in this story.
Yes. Yeah. When the scripture in verse 21 says, others said, it turns out to be precious few others. But yes, there are others. It's true. Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Notice the words are used here, or the word words. Do you think there's something to that?
Well, they're considering everything Jesus has said. They've been following and hearing him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not just one thing that the eyes of the blind being opened. It's an accumulation of everything he's saying. And
yes.
And it's going around in their brains, and they're putting two and two together.
Yes, they are. But what does it show that they're placing an emphasis on? Now, they do bring up the fact that a devil would not open the eyes of the blind, and as a matter of fact, could not.
Are you going back to John 1:1?
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what they brought up here. These are not the words of him that hath a devil. So they're listening, their ears are open, and they're hearkening. And because they're hearkening, they're, as you said, putting two and two together. But what else might they be doing? Like making a connection. Do you suppose it's possible that they've made a connection between the words that Jesus has spoken in his ministry and what was prophesied of him in their own scriptures? He's already challenged them to search the scriptures, remember? And he told them, it's the scriptures that speak of me. So it's interesting here that those, the others in verse number 21 say, these are not the words of him that has a devil. Well, let's look at some of these things. First of all, the division among the Jews. And let's start in Isaiah chapter 8, shall we? Isaiah chapter 8. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's a kind of a curious thing, don't you think? Okay, Isaiah chapter 8 then, and we'll start reading in verse number 9. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Give ear, all of ye far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Notice that the gauntlet is thrown down twice here. So there's two groups that are being spoken to in verse number 9. The first is, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And then give ear, all ye far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Well, we're going to be looking at the first part of it here. O ye people, who do you suppose the prophet is speaking of here? Since he's contrasted them to those of far countries.
The first O ye people is the nation of
Israel. Yes, he's speaking to Israel here, and then also by extension, all others. Verse number 10, take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Can you see that prophecy shining its light in what we're looking at in John chapter 10. Do you think that the Pharisees, the scribes, and the lawyers are taking counsel together? We know that they are. We're told that several times in the book of John. But look what's said here by the prophet. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. What do you think is being said here? What's the prophet saying? Is he speaking to those that would oppose Christ or oppose the living God? Of course he is. Take counsel together and it shall come to naught. What does the prophet say?
You guys don't know me.
Well, you can make all your plans and you can work all your plans, but it will come to naught. Speak the word and it shall not stand. What word have they spoken in John chapter 10? He's mad and hath the devil. Why hear ye him? Why will their counsel come to naught? And why will their word not stand? Because God is with us. For the Lord spake thus, verse number 11, to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, who do you suppose that this people is? Once again, the nation of Israel. That's who Isaiah is prophesying to. Verse number 12. Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say, a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Do you suppose that's good news to Nicodemus? Of course. And what does this mean? Say ye not a confederacy to them to whom this people shall say, a confederacy. That seems like convoluted speech, but what is the prophet saying?
He's talking about a conspiracy.
Yes, he's saying, don't join with them in their conspiracy. When they say, we've got a conspiracy going here, come and join us, don't join it. Verse number 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Wow. And many people among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Does this sound like the scene that we're looking in on in John chapter 10? Remember, the Lord has had a number of years of public ministry up to this point. Verse number 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel, saith the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. No light in them. And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. What is the prophet prophesying of? especially verse 21 and following, because there's going to be a result that will arise from their opposition that we're seeing in John chapter 10 and verse number 19, that division where some said, he's mad and has a devil, why hear ye him? Don't listen to him. What is the prophet saying here?
Is it that there will come a time that they're going to realize what happened?
Yes, they will, but before they get there, some really bad things are going to happen. Do you think the prophet is looking past the time that they form this confederacy against their own Messiah?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Look at verse number 14 once again. And it shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony. What's the prophet saying here? And he's speaking directly to Israel. It's more that those in the far countries are looking at this more as bystanders, but there certainly should be a lesson learned from this. What is God saying that's going to happen to both the houses of Israel? It's interesting during the Lord's ministry that the house of Israel is where? They're already ginned and snared. They've already been carried away by the Assyrians. The northern kingdom or the house of Israel, that prophecy has already come to pass at the time that the Lord is speaking.
So when it says he shall be for a sanctuary, talking about the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
You get down at the bottom and we're seeing that they've already got traps set up for him.
Yes. You have to go back into verse number 13 to say that. Because the ones that will listen, the prophet is pleading and saying in verse number 13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, and he shall be for a sanctuary. A sanctuary from what? Well, after the semicolon you learn. But for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. What are both the houses of Israel? The northern and southern kingdoms. They're divided at this point in time. And as Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, the northern kingdom has already been carried away, and only the southern kingdom, or Judah, the house of Judah, is left. And he's speaking now to the house of Judah. So this prophecy is already half done by the time that the Lord is speaking in John chapter 10. So, what is prophesied here? Well, Christ is going to be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, and for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are particularly pointed out. Verse 15, and many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. Is there a double fulfillment to this prophecy? You did what?
I looked up that word gin.
Yes.
And it's a bird trap.
Yes, it is. Yes. A foul deed. Just checking to see if anybody's awake. So is there a double fulfillment of this prophecy?
Well, first of all, the Jews get scattered. I mean, multiple times. And then second of all, they have to go through the time of Jacob's trouble. So I think
yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. As Jesus is winding up his public ministry in John chapter 10, it's not going to be very many years before the Romans come in 70 AD and carry the house of Judah into the nations, where they will remain buried for nearly 2,000 years. And then, after they're gathered out of the nations, what's the next thing on their calendar? They're going to be snared once again in the time of Jacob's trouble, and they're going to stumble and fall and be taken. And then in verse number 16, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. What's the prophet saying here? Isn't he saying, this is the testimony of the living God? Bind it up among my disciples. Understand it. Absolutely. Verse number 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? What's he saying here? Israel's first king fell to this. Sure enough.
And then back in John 10, they're saying that Christ is dead.
Yes, they are.
And that he's mad. And here we're finding that they have the devil.
Yes, certainly so. And then we come to verse number 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, do you think that the Pharisees, scribes, that whole lot that's opposing the Lord Jesus in John chapter 10, were familiar with the book of Isaiah? These books, these scrolls were read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. So what is God saying to the children of Israel here in verse number 20? To the law and to the testimony. Two things mentioned here. Law and testimony. What do you suppose that means? To the law and to the testimony. There are two witnesses being called here. In the mouths of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Do you think God keeps his own rules? Well, he's brought forth two things here. To the law and to the testimony. Well, this should be easy. What's the law?
The Ten Commandments.
Well, more than just the Ten Commandments. It's the law of Moses. Why would he appeal to the law of Moses? Is Christ prophesied in the law? Is Christ shown forth in the shadows and types in the law? Take the Day of Atonement, for example. Take the Passover. Well, what about the testimony? I think you're reading some of it. There's a hint. Do you think the prophets brought forth God's testimony? Of course they did. So they had two things. They had the law and the prophets, right? And the Lord Jesus mentions the fact several times that the law and the prophets speak of him. Well, here we have it. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word. Now we're back to the word again. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
Because they couldn't perceive it, they didn't understand it,
they had no light. And, of course, the question arises, why did they have no light? Because they didn't want to have any light.
It only comes through the Holy Spirit.
Yes, absolutely. So we have that. Do you think that what happens then in John chapter 10 has already been prophesied? And do you think this prophecy is supposed to be a warning to the nation of Israel not to be among those that are ginned and snared? And we saw in John chapter 10 that there were a few that were willing to say, these are not the words of one that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Looks like there are a few honest seekers. Do you suppose maybe they took a warning? Let's look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. When we get done looking at a few of these scriptures, you're going to say, you know, it almost looks like what's going on in John chapter 10 is part of the plan and purpose of God. Imagine that. John chapter 2 and verse number 25. I'm sorry. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. What do you suppose that Simeon thought the consolation of Israel was? Yeah, he's going to say so, as a matter of fact. Yes. Verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus for to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Remember that warning back in the book of Isaiah? It wasn't just for the nation of Israel. Verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Well, this is what Simeon has to say. What is Simeon saying? Let's read on a few verses, shall we? Simeon, to this point now, has said that he understands this is the consolation of Israel, to console Israel. And he says that this child is his salvation in verse number 30. Verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Are the thoughts of many hearts being revealed in John chapter 10, where we have once again this division? And now this division is made an open thing because two parties have declared what their position is on what the Lord Jesus has said up to John chapter 10 and verse number 19. These are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Verse number 34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, and by the way, what does the name Mary mean? Bitterness. Mara. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, what should you do every time you see a name in the scriptures? Pull out your Bible dictionary and look up the meaning of it, because it probably has a whole lot to do with what that passage of Scripture is speaking of. Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel. What do you suppose Simeon is speaking of here? The fall and then the rising again of many. Do you think it has something to do with that stone of stumbling and rock of offense that Isaiah prophesied of? And what about Mary personally? Verse 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. Do you suppose that she looked at her son on the cross with bitterness in her heart? That bitterness is going to be turned to joy in 3 days. But considered, as she stands at the foot of the cross, do you suppose that Simeon's prophecy has come true? Yes. Does it almost sound like the plan and purpose of God is right on track? And what is the plan and purpose for? Look at verse number 35. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Just letting that sink in for a moment. Every time that Christ is preached, the thoughts of many hearts are revealed. People can hide things in their heart, but when Christ is preached, it draws forth strong reactions. He hath a devil, and he's mad. Or, these are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? This little scene we're looking at in John chapter 10, if you were looking in on the scene, and you are, can you see the divisions and who's on one side and who's on the other? Of course. Before Christ came, was that division existing? Were the people in Israel discussing the Messiah before the Messiah came? They may have been discussing it, but were the thoughts of their hearts drawn out like it is here? Yes. And if you're paying attention, you're going to notice that every time the gospel is preached, even today, it creates a division. And we're not finished yet. Go to Matthew chapter 10. When we know these things, we start to understand what it is that's going on around us. And it's going on today. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32. Matthew 10 and verse number 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Wow, this division reaches to the deepest level of society, right into a household. Can't go much deeper than that. And by the way, if you are looking at a Bible that has notes in it, what does it say about verse number 36? Jesus actually takes this from somewhere and quotes it.
Psalm 41.
Mm-hmm. It's actually a quotation from one of the minor prophets. Yes, absolutely. Do you suppose that the Jews would have been familiar with that little book? Of course, it was part of the synagogue scrolls that were read, and here Jesus quotes it. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Do you think I've come to send peace on the earth? Nay. A sword. Does it sound like there's a sword afoot in John chapter 10? Sure does. Let's look at Luke chapter 12, shall we? Luke chapter 12. Back to the book of Luke just for a moment. So you can see that all this opposition that the Lord is facing has caught him totally by surprise. Luke chapter 12 and verse 49. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 49. Again, the words of our Lord, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened till it be accomplished. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. From henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence, that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hail thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. Does this sound pretty solemn? Oh my, does it ever? We don't have time to go through this morning and look at it in its particulars. But nonetheless, what do you suppose, overall, the Lord is saying here?
You never hear this in the What Would Jesus Do conversation.
Well, no, you don't, because this is what Jesus did. So you don't have to speculate about what he would do.
There's going to be a real division between
them. Oh, yes, there is, and it's going to have a very great consequence. But for now, let's pray.